right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I am one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined as always, it is...
Maddie Juice. What is going on, everybody? Welcome to episode number 86. I hope you're ready to talk about some indie games. We've got some cool news stories coming up, too, so stay tuned for that. But Tommy, what's going on with you?
What's going on with me? Oh, my Lanta, a lot. I just quit my job today and going back to my old job. So, you know, something a little bit more familiar and more my speed, which is good. I cannot do the cubicle life. I learned that about myself. I gave it the old college try. Was at it for 6 months and golly, I'm not getting those 6 months back. I'll tell you that for free. But, you know, we're cooking back in the beer industry. So that's good. I was in Hartford, Connecticut over the weekend, not to brag, for a tournament of Flesh and Blood variety. And I did okay. I played a new deck, but the big thing was when I hit 500 subs on my other channel, Fresh and Buds, I had promised I would do a Leviah cosplay. Leviah is a character from the show, or from not the show, from the game. And, some things happened. Life happened, you know, got married, got engaged, planned a wedding, moved, stuff like that. And then also I realized that cosplaying is really hard. And I got to give it up for the cosplayers because it is hard to do in general. And then really hard to do, like, really well. So got to shout out to the cosplayers. You all are so good at it. But... I was starting to get questions. When's the cosplay happening? And I knew I had to do it. So I decided that Hartford was going to be one of the few bigger events I was going to this year. So I was like, I'm going to do it at Hartford. And trying to figure out what I'm going to do, if I'm going to be exactly Leviah or not. You can look her up if anybody isn't familiar. Leviah Shadowborn Abomination. You can see what she looks like, and you can see how hard she would be to cosplay as. So what I did was instead, I did a take on it. It was called Leviyahaw Shadowborn Tarnation, where I was like a cowboy version of her, and I had the tentacles coming out of a purple hat, cowboy hat, and I had a belt buckle, a bolo on. I was rocking, and people liked it. I know one listener in particular was, you know, saying that it didn't really look like her, but that's okay, Capolo. You gosh dang hater. But no, I'm kidding. He was just giving me grief. But it's kind of funny. I looked like Shibuzi a little bit, if anybody knows who Shibuzi is, because, you know, he's got dreads and they're like the thicker dreads. And I had tentacles that were like kind of look like thicker dreads if they were purple. Right. So that was kind of funny, but it was fun. That was cool. And then back to reality and onwards and upwards to new fun stuff to do. What's up with you? How was your weekend?
Nice. Mine was pretty good. I actually, I have been playing two new games. I was fortunate enough to get a key for Clair Obscur Expedition 33.
Whoa!
So I've been playing that a little bit. I got a key. I don't know how. I have no idea.
Okay.
I got a key, and I also got a key for Blueprints as well.
What? The two best games of the year?
I've been playing some of that. Yeah, I don't know. They came at the same time for some reason, so I was just like, okay.
What the heck is going on here?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I applied for them a while ago.
Okay.
And I just checked, like, my account. It's on something called Lurkit, and they were just there. The key, it said, like, claim code. I was like, okay. And then, I'll probably do some streams of them in the future. But both, I will say, great so far. I think you would really like Blueprints.
Yeah.
And I haven't gotten into a lot of combat yet in Expedition 33 because it's also like you know, you're talking to people, like kind of setting up the story still. But I imagine it's going to be good because so far it's pretty cool. So yeah, I've been playing those. I also, it was my dad's birthday, so hung out with him a bit, had some great cake, and had some fajitas. So that was a good time. What else did I do this past weekend? Played some Helldivers 2.
Helldivers 2? What year is it?
With my buddy Pat, they actually just added like a new type of enemy with their own types of planets and stuff. It's like a whole, like there's basically two types of enemies in the game, I believe. So this is a third one. So this is like a big deal. So playing that with him, very cool. They're kind of like these, like, I don't know, like futuristic kind of alien sort of things. But they're all, some of them are also like zombies. I don't know. It's very weird, but it's pretty cool. Sweet. And then, yeah, what's up?
I said sweet.
Yeah. Oh, sweet. Definitely
sweet. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And let's see. What I was looking at, some flooring, you know, very exciting stuff.
There you go.
Very exciting. And I also, I got some magnet paper this weekend.
Oh, yeah, yeah. From, I heard about this.
Your wife's recommendation, because genius idea here, folks. If you've got stickers lying around, go on Amazon. Buy some magnet paper, turn them into magnets. That way you don't need to fully commit into where you're putting them. So I already have some stuff on my car. I'm going to have some stuff on the mini fridge back there, the fridge downstairs, all that sort of stuff. So cool idea, because I am just someone that collects stickers because I just like, I don't want to full, if it's such a nice sticker, I'm like, I don't want to put it somewhere that's going to get ruined, you know? But anyway, yeah. And also went to Costco, which I'll talk about something in the rec room related to Costco, which was great. But yeah, that's what I've been up to, you know, a little bit here, cool. A little bit there.
It sounds like listen, the magnet paper is legit. As a beneficiary of magnet paper for a long time, I would say that's a great recommendation. Shout out to my wife, you know, rocking the. The really good stuff. So, we have a great show for you all this week. We're playing a free-to-play game. This is one that right now you could go for zero cost. Go download this game, Rogue Worlds, and play it as you listen to this and see if you agree with our thoughts, because that's the beautiful thing about free-to-play games. We'll get to that in a bit, though. We'll give you time to go download it, but we got to catch up on some news. First, the biggest news of all time. Yes, we have a Discord. Yes, it's a great place to hang out. Yes, you can submit questions on there. And no, there is no. It's actually all yeses. It's a good place to be. So, with that out of the way, the 6-1 Indie Showcase to feature nearly 50 indie games next week on May 22nd. What is the deal with that?
So this will come out, this will happen the day after this episode releases. So make sure you are tuning into that. But it's on YouTube. It might also be on Twitch as well. But basically, it is, yeah, like Tommy said, it's going to have over 50 indie games, 75 minutes, just an awesome 6-1 indie showcase. There's also going to be a Steam sale featuring over 150 indie games.
Whoa.
Yeah, so that's pretty dang cool. And this starts on May 22nd at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. And it's just, you know, always just like kind of shouting out these indie showcases. I think we're starting to see more and more of them, which is really cool. Gives, you know, a spotlight on some developers that maybe can't afford the major shows, but still gets a good amount of eyes on them. So I'll definitely, you know, sometimes these shows like this one, for example, is at noon on a Thursday. So sometimes I have meetings then, but I always check out the recaps for this. So I'll definitely post that in our Discord. If anyone would like to get that. But yeah, cool to see these indie showcases. What are you thinking about it, Tommy?
Yeah, it looks cool. I'm always down for some kind of showcase, especially the indie ones, because I feel like, I don't know, there's something about those kind of triple A ones where it's like just really flashy without any substance, where I think indie games, when they kind of put themselves out to the world, have a really, you know, keen sense of making it feel like real and like yeah. not just like, hey, buy our game. It's more like, look at this thing that we worked on. So pretty exciting. I'm excited to watch it. I think I should be able to this week live during my lunch hour. That's the real business right there. And yeah, it should be cool. I wonder what we're going to see, though. There's no real indicator of the devs involved, right?
Yeah, they haven't really talked about that, at least in this article. Perhaps on the 6-1 Indie Showcase. Let's see. The pre-show kicks off featuring 7 overlooked indies from the first half of the year. The main showcase will have premieres, exclusive announcements, and exciting updates across 41 upcoming games. Then after the show, they're going to have hands-on previews and developer interviews as well. Then the Steam event starts as well. And it says, expect big reveals like the world premiere of Truth Scrapper from the creator of In Stars and Time, a peek into the worlds of Mouse PI for Hire, and Hotel Barcelona, a deep dive into future Vibe Check and more unexpected surprises. So I know one of those games out of the four, Mouse PI for Hire, but yeah.
Vibe Check.
Future Vibe Check, yeah.
Okay. Listen, we're going to take a step back to what happened over the weekend. But it's not indie game related, but it's kind of video game related. So there, at this convention I was at, there was, and it'll all make sense why the Vibe Check, you know, inspired this. At this tournament, there was a bunch of different games: Magic, Flesh and Blood, Star Wars or whatever it's called, Unlimited, Lorcana, the Disney game, and then there was a $25,000 prize pool for like a new game called Vibes. And what is Vibes? It is it's hard to explain, but it's kind of like a meme game that's really capitalizing on nostalgia for Club Penguin. It's all about penguins. And they're somehow running a $25,000 tournament, which is pretty impressive. And yep. I guess it's also on Epic Game Store as like a digital game as well. And it's also kind of inspired by an NFT investor thing. But I don't know. A lot of weird stuff going on with Vibes. I think like the art is originally from like an NFT thing. But you know, one thing you have to do in the game is you have to win the Vibe Check.
Oh.
Every turn. And that's just, I don't know. That reminded me of it. I wanted to talk about it on the show and I forgot. And you said Vibe Check. And I was like, Vibes. I was going to recommend it because I did play a little bit of it, but I didn't play the actual tournament. But I don't know if I could recommend it, to be honest. Because, like, there's probably some sketchy stuff going on with it, to be honest. So.
Yeah, I am familiar with these NFTs, and it does say it, this is a blockchain NFT game, but that's probably how they're able to do $1,000 tournaments. But yeah, the Vibes, got to Vibe Check it.
It was a very funny game. Like the mechanics had fun names, and it all like was really silly and whatever. But it was funny to watch. I would go over and watch some of the tournament and to see like sweats, like really like. Like getting into Vibe Checks.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I won the Vibe Check. past turn. You know, it's just like it was very, very neat. Now, you had another cool article here. Cool dynamic music system for an upcoming fast-paced action game. What's going on with this?
Yeah, so this is a game that is still in development. It's gonna have a demo on Steam soon. It's called Lovesick Cat. And it is a kind of like a PS1 style graphic, third person, like fast paced action shooter kind of game. But what's cool about this, as like Tommy alluded to, is that the music in the game, they have a pretty interesting music system where there's a clip of this that was posted in this article that is always in the show description, where after the player completes a quest, it adds like another layer of the music. So it might start out with like, you know, just one layer, then like the drums get put in and then guitar and then maybe like some singing, some vocals get put in after you complete each quest or each like little mission. And I just think it's a really cool concept. Now, it's a pretty, you know, it's a fast paced action game. So it's pretty like, you know, high octane kind of soundtrack. But I think this is just a really interesting idea in general. Works really well, I guess, like in this kind of arcadey sort of space. But yeah, I'd never really kind of seen this before. It might exist in some other games. You know, I'm sure the listeners might be able to point out a few. But I always just like when things that you don't expect to really be part of the game mechanics are. Like I always really like, for example, there's some survival games where when you pick up a compass, it actually will add a compass to your HUD, you know, so it's not like you actually physically have to look. So it's almost like you're unlocking parts of the game, which is really cool. But this in this one, they're doing it with sound. So, yeah, just thought it was a really cool article, really cool concept.
Yeah, this is really neat. I mean, I love when music changes like any time in the game, like especially one where you're spending time in, like Animal Crossing, like, oh, it's rainy 4 p.m. music. And you're like, oh, this is pretty nice, right? Yeah. And, you know, anything like this, like the layer thing's kind of fun because if anybody's ever messed around on GarageBand or something like that, that's how it goes, right? You're just like, all right, yeah, let's get the drum beat. All right, I'm going to try to add some synth, maybe some bass. And that's kind of fun to do it. I mean, I can't listen to it now because we'll be able to hear it, but I'm going to be listening to it. It does look like a fun game, though, too. So should be interesting. I hope it's not just being carried by this like music thing as like a gimmick, though.
Yeah, agreed. You know, it's still in you know, early development, and the dev even said that like some of the ideas are still under consideration that are in the game. But things like skateboarding, wall jumping, wall riding are being considered. So it seems like it'll be kind of that fast paced movement game. And I also just like when games do like the PS1, PS2 art style. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a game I've played that was recommended called Tyrant's Realm, which is a roguelite Souls-like, but it looks like it was made on the PS1. And I don't know, I just always like that kind of aesthetic. Just brings me back a little bit, even though I didn't have a PlayStation 1 or 2 as a kid. But brings me back to the N64 GameCube days, you know?
Yeah,
yeah.
It always seemed like the best graphics at the time, right? Yeah. You're just like, I mean, I guess it was, right? You're just like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. And it was. Yep. But yep. Like, I almost think back and I'm like, that looked better then than like updated graphics look now. Like, I don't know if that's just me or maybe just like the nostalgia talking, but that's just how I always saw it.
Yeah, I think also, you know, not to get into like a whole conversation about this, but like at least what happens with me is when a game is like trying to be more realistic looking, I tend to like look for flaws more often than like when I'm playing a game from PS1. I'm not looking to see if like every little detail is there because I know it's not. Yeah. So, you know, when you like play a Ubisoft game and the hair is all messed up and it's clipping through like the person's shoulders and you're like, this looks really terrible. You wouldn't care about that if it was like a PS1 or PS2 game. So that's also probably why I like it, because I can just kind of like, I don't know, just have fun, be silly with it, be arcadey with it.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That makes sense to me. That makes sense to me. Now, we got to get to this Rogue Worlds game. I'm sure all of you have downloaded it at this point.
Yeah.
Right?
Hopefully.
Comment below if you downloaded it. Now, what is Rogue Worlds? It's a free-to-play game on Steam, developed by Cognitive Forge, published by Indie.io. It's a chaotic tactical roguelike platformer where you wield the environment and creative abilities to overcome challenges, outwit powerful guardians, and blast, dash, grapple, fight, and charm your way through ever-changing labyrinths. It was a mouthful. Let's get right into the gameplay. Got like a nice little tutorial in this game. I actually thought it was pretty helpful. Not a very complex game. It definitely feels free to play, but that's not a bad thing because plenty of games are free to play and they're great, right? You know, I don't know if Fortnite's great, but it is free to play. But so you hop in and you do the tutorial. The tutorial is pretty thorough, and it gives you a good idea of what's going on. It kind of hits on some story elements. And then you hop in as well right into the regular game, and you start with a loadout of a weapon and a like secondary weapon or like a shield or something like that. It could be a number of things. As you go through, you'll unlock new stuff to start with. And the gameplay is pretty basic. You're just hopping through like a basic platformer style game, and you're just going through, opening chests, killing enemies. Eventually, some rooms will start to close in on you. You got to escape that. So there's a lot going on here. The gameplay was easy, I think. Like, mostly, like, there are times when you die. Not because you mistimed anything, but because you couldn't tell where you could land sometimes. I did run into that a couple times. But overall, it was a pretty simple game. And really, my expectations weren't that high for it either. Knowing it was free to play, and you know, after spending some time with it, I will say it didn't really hit that roguelike kind of itch where I'm like, I died, I really want to hop back in. And I don't know why that is. I think maybe because the unlock system was like not super rewarding. It felt like it didn't feel like there was a kind of goal, like a system to it. It felt like you just would unlock stuff, or you'd buy stuff at the shop in the base area where you start, and that was it. Like, it wasn't like, I can't wait to open, or not open, but like grab more upgrades and new weapons to start these runs with. So like, there was something about this gameplay that didn't hit that like classic addictingness that I was kind of expecting, right? Like a free-to-play roguelite, like, sure, the graphics, we'll talk about that, not the best or anything like that, but it had the potential to like really just be super addicting, and you're like, oh, whatever, I'm just gonna hop in and play a couple runs of Rogue Worlds. And I didn't really get that, and I don't know why. And I think maybe it was the unlocks didn't feel that satisfying, and maybe the general gameplay was a little too basic for me. And that's just kind of how I felt about it, because I really tried to get into this game. I kept hopping in, doing runs, and I would die, and I felt like I didn't want to hop back into a run. I would, because I just wanted to see more of the game for you know, reviewing purposes. But like, golly, I just kind of dreaded it. I was like, I don't think this is going to be like really that fun. And this was a game that I thought was like kind of made for me, and I didn't think that it hit those notes at all. But that's my unfortunately scathing review of this game.
Yeah, I agree with you on a lot of points. I think that the game, you know, the controls, like the feel of the game is a little like janky. I mean, I know it's a free-to-play game, so I'm not going to knock it too hard on that sort of stuff. But I did also feel like, honestly, when I was playing it, I was like, is this like a Metroidvania? Like, I didn't even feel really like it was a roguelike, even though it doesn't have like a system, at least that I explored, where, you know, you get an item to unlock a new area like a normal Metroidvania. But I honestly kind of didn't really feel like it was super roguelite-y. I also agree, like, it just kind of felt like, okay, you're going to go back to the shop, you can unlock like some new items, but even that progression was like pretty slow, it felt like. I did like the mechanic of when you actually buy something in the shop, it gives you another currency to then use, which is kind of a cool idea, because it makes it so that you're like, okay, I'm going to try all this sort of stuff because I get a reward out of it. But yeah, it just didn't really feel super roguelite-y. I would like a little bit more. Something that's really interesting with this game too, that I discovered before the show, is that this developer's second game. They had another game come out in 2024 called Aura of Worlds, And I implore you to look this up on Steam. It's a $15 game, and it looks exactly the same as this game. So I have a feeling, and it's also a roguelite. It's a platformer. It may, you know, it kind of has like a maybe some different characters, but it looked pretty similar to this game. And I just have a feeling that like maybe this came out in 2024 it came out in 2024, had good reviews. And the developer was like, oh, if I like reskin part of this and then make it free, it's going to have like even better reviews. Right. But oddly, yeah, this game actually has a lower score on Steam than Aura of World. So I just thought that was really interesting. And it kind of made me view the game a little bit differently, because as I'm playing it, I'm kind of like, I was appreciating some of the different mechanics. Like, I like that there's vaulting in the game. I think that's cool. There's a grappling hook you can get. You can also like slide down the wall. Like, there's a lot of interesting different movement choices. And I personally, like I said, I really like the vaulting, because there's a lot of times in these sort of platformer games where I'm like, I just missed it. I like that you can like grab onto the ledge. But when I kind of found out it's like almost like a copy of a game that came out last year that the developer also made, I almost like appreciated it a little bit less. I don't know if you had a chance to look it up, Tommy. Like, what do you think?
I'm looking at it right now. If that's not the exact same game, wait a second. It's even using the same like GIFs or GIFs, if you know, the same GIFs as the other one. What the heck is this?
I know, and that's got very positive reviews, and this one has just positive reviews. So yeah. There's not that
many reviews on this one, though.
Yeah, it's only 14. Still, yeah, it's only been out 5 days or so, but just find it kind of interesting that was the case. But yeah, I agree. Like, I think I didn't really feel a big desire to keep doing runs because the roguelite system didn't really feel super rewarding. I did enjoy like the different levels though. Like there's one where like toxic gas is like lowering on you, so you need to like run down the platforms as quickly as you can. I ended up getting like killed by a mimic, which is a nice little surprise. But I don't know. I just like wasn't in love with the core gameplay here. It felt a little janky. You know, I understand it's free to play. It felt like there was a good amount of content. I just don't know how interesting the other content, that I didn't get to play would be, especially around like the enemy design. I didn't really feel like the enemies were like, there was like enough of them in some levels. I was like, man, I'm just cruising through this. Like, there's no enemies here for some reason. And then other, it just kind of felt easy, like you mentioned, where I just kind of took a little bit of my time. The only reason the mimic got me is because I didn't expect it to be a mimic. But other than that, I was like cruising through everything. It didn't hook me. This game just didn't hook me gameplay wise.
So I actually have a statement. I don't have a statement, but on the community page of this game, somebody posted Aura of Worlds ? And linked Aura of Worlds. And the dev came in and said, hi, Rogue Worlds is a free spin-off game of Aura of Worlds, featuring a subset of the unlockables, opponents, items, and areas. However, it is not simply a light version. There are also some experimental features, and both games have evolved significantly since Aura of Worlds launched and will continue to do so with future updates. We wanted to share the experience with more players, especially with considering the rising cost of living and challenges of raising awareness in a busy market. Totally get that. And then the person commented, so this is effectively a demo this was a comment on the demo. So this is effectively a limited and slightly modified demo of Aura of Worlds. And they're like, kind of not quite. It's a standalone free experience that shares content with Aura of Worlds, but also has some modifications on its own. I mean, not really saying what the modifications are, but it does clear things up a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, that's interesting because actually I just see now at the bottom, the last line of their Steam page description says Rogue Worlds is the free, parentheses, light edition of Aura of Worlds with a shorter campaign and shared progress. So there's just something about this that kind of irks me because I'm like, you know, you kind of pitch it as a standalone game. You kind of bury some of this dialogue, you know, you don't really make it like front and center, especially for people that maybe really enjoyed Aura of Worlds. They were excited for a new game to come out and maybe it's just kind of more of the same sort of stuff with these, you know, different changes that we're not 100% sure of. I just feel like I understand that, you know, they want to sell more copies of like Aura of Worlds. I get it. You know, but I feel like if they wanted to do that, they should probably make it a little bit more front and center, like this messaging. Like it was, I wouldn't have even known about Aura of Worlds if I didn't click on their Steam name, you know, the developer name on Steam. So maybe make it a little bit more front and center in the description, maybe have a pop-up in game that sort of explains it. I feel like I would have been more like understanding if they were a little bit more forward with it instead of someone having to ask, you know, in that community section you mentioned about it. Yeah, it just kind of just irks me. Almost feels like a red flag in a way, even though I don't think they're doing anything like malicious here. Obviously, no. The game's free, but it just feels weird to me.
Yeah, it is a little weird, but like you said, they're not really doing anything malicious. It's just odd, right? Like there is no reason for them to kind of hide it, but they did, you know. And I don't know why it doesn't sit right with me, but maybe it's just, maybe I think about like us, right? Cause we were like, oh cool. A free to play roguelike that we can play and review. That's awesome. Right. But like, then it's not a full game experience. Right. And like the information wasn't like out there. So, it is what it is, but hey, listen, we got to talk about the lack of story, but you know, that was kind of expected. I think that you know, you have this like weird kind of mentor character that like teleports around and you know, gives you like tidbits and is kind of like mysterious in a way. Feels like Gandalf and the Hobbit, to be honest. And then you have like a shopkeeper, but other than that, it's not like a story heavy game. Wouldn't really expect to, you know, get that out of this. This is not like why you come to roguelite experiences. So there's not much to say about it, especially since it's actually not a complete game. But what were your thoughts here? Did you get more out of it than me?
No, I wouldn't say so. Yeah, no real story here. Wasn't looking for one like you mentioned. You know, I actually thought that, you know, when you talk to the characters, you know, they kind of have these like big dialogue boxes. So I was like, oh, this might be a game with a lot of dialogue. I might be meeting a lot of characters just because, I don't know, I just didn't expect that maybe. Usually it's like maybe just smaller kind of dialogue boxes if it's just like a shopkeeper or something like that. But this was like, oh, wow, there's like full sentences happening here. So I expected a little bit more in terms of like characters you meet, but in terms of like them telling a story, I wasn't really looking for that. And yeah, it's definitely not really here. The art side of things, interesting though. Obviously we brought up the other game, but curious to know, what are your thoughts on the art?
Yeah, this is kind of what I expected, to be honest. Like there's nothing about this that is abhorrent. You know, there is some work that went into like the backgrounds and stuff like that. It feels very flash gamey, but I don't know, considering what kind of game it is, like I wouldn't mind it. It's kind of funny to think that people were paying $15 for the other one, although it's still not offensive to me, this kind of art style. So like, it's not the most beautiful pixel art, but I will say a lot of the backgrounds were very nice. And, you know, it was easy to kind of follow and see what enemies, you know, there were. And, you know, you kind of had a good feel for when there was loot to be picked up or whatever. It wasn't the worst. The heads-up display is fine. You know, just kind of pretty simple up in the top left corner. But you also had this kind of wheel that you can switch stuff, which I kept hitting the wrong button, but that was more user error. Yeah, I think this is totally fine. It's not like breaking any kind of new ground or anything like that. But, you know, it's a good basic art style for a game that is free.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. You know, it's I think it's a pretty solid looking free game. It does have a little bit of the jankiness in the animation department as well, you know, kind of tied to the gameplay a bit. Yeah, I didn't really hate the art overall. I think it looked fine. Maybe would have liked it to be like a little less like vibrant. I don't know. Just kind of feel like, just almost felt like it should have been like a darker kind of experience. Let me just loop that gameplay there for those watching on YouTube. But yeah, I did have issues with like the UI a little bit. I kind of felt like, and maybe this is just like my fault, but I kind of felt like the health was like a little just like too far away from like, sometimes I'm kind of, you know, when I'm playing, I'm in the middle of a battle, and this is the type of game where like, it's not like Dead Cells where like you're just kind of hitting one button. Like you have to aim your mouse at these, these enemies and then fire. So there were times where like I'm trying to dodge enemies and I'm like, how much health do I have? And I just kind of felt like it was a little bit further away. I almost would have appreciated it maybe in, like centered and like a little bit bigger, but I don't know. That could just be my fault. But one issue I do have with the art that I think is probably universally agreed, I would imagine, is they have a map in the game where it's very much like a Metroidvania kind of looking map. And to see where you are this tiny, tiny blue dot where it just blends in with the background sometimes. I had to figure out where I was based on the shape of the room I was in sometimes, where I'm just like, oh, that's the room I'm in. Oh, there I am. Just make that icon bigger or just make it a different icon. It's very hard to see. So that was just an issue I had with it, because there's times, obviously, you hit like a dead end. So I'm like, okay, well, where am I right now? Where do I have to go? I have to go up, right? You know, so it just took me a little bit longer sometimes to like figure out where I was on the map. It helps in rooms like this, if you're watching on YouTube, to see where your character is because it's dark. But when you're in like a really vibrant room, it can be difficult to see that little icon. So that was the real issue I had with the art. Other than that, I thought it was fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even really look at the map, to be honest. It was so kind of, you know, it's like, it felt like a afterthought in the top right corner, to be honest, at times. And you're just like, whatever. I'm just powering through and seeing where I can go in this dungeon. But the music does fine. Nothing crazy, to be honest. The sound effects were a little bit corny, I would say. Didn't really, I don't know. It just felt a little cheap, to be honest. I know it's a free-to-play game, but it felt a little bit like copy and paste to me, and didn't really have like a lot of depth. It felt like kind of flat in terms of an audio sense. So that was that, but like, it wasn't like a deal breaker or anything like that. But the music was totally fine. I felt like it was exactly what you would expect in a game like this, if that makes sense. Just like, kind of generic, kind of like fantasy dungeon music that, you know, it kind of matched how the game looked too. So it wasn't the worst.
Yeah. I agree about like the copy paste for music. It almost felt like this was just like, all right, we're just going to look up on YouTube, like royalty free, background music, which is fine. You know, I think it, it doesn't take away too much from the game, but it's definitely not anything that's like super memorable. And then, yeah, the sound effects a little odd as well. Yeah, I didn't really have a lot with the sound with this game. It didn't really make a big like impression on me overall. Just kind of basic run of the mill sort of sound effects and music.
Yeah. Not bad. Not definitely not bad, but not not like exemplary.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. But in terms of performance, I played it on the Steam Deck and it played totally fine. It was totally fine experience there. Did you have any issues?
No. I played I actually just played on my PC with mouse and keyboard. Everything was fine as well. No issues on my end.
Cool. And that brings us to our ratings.
Yes, it does.
At the top of it is Certified Fresh Juice. These are your Balatros of the world, your Norp Apologues, your Preserves, and then Steals. These are games that are really good. They're not quite great, though, but we definitely recommend them. Things like Ballionaire, Crypt Custodian, The Cub. Then on sale, these are games that are, you know, have their issues, right? You know, they have really good moments as well, but there's some stuff holding it back. But if it was on sale, I would consider it. Things like Wizard with a Gun, Hellskate. And then Manager Special is either really, you know, just for a specific kind of audience and not us per se. You might want to give it a shot if it's on a deep discount or free to play. And then finally, Spoiled Milk are games that we don't recommend for anybody. Matthew, what is your rating for Rogue Worlds?
I am giving Rogue Worlds a Manager Special. Now, the reason for this, I just don't think it's bad enough to be a Spoiled Milk. You know, it's free to play. There is some merit here. You know, especially if you don't look at the first game that they came out with last year, you're like, okay, you know, I kind of was in the same boat as you. I'm like, oh, this could be like right up my alley. But I just don't think it was executed very well. A little bit of jankiness. I appreciate the different mechanics that are in the game, but I was really looking for more roguelite mechanics, and it didn't really hit home with those. So I'm giving it a Manager Special. What about you?
This is the perfect example of a serviceable Manager Special, right? It's free to play, and there's low cost to entry there. You'll know if you're going to like the game within 5 minutes. And that's not a knock on the game. It wasn't for me. It really wasn't. And I thought it might be, but it was missing like a soul. I felt like, if that makes sense, that, mm-hmm. that like in this kind of like game design intent that you get in a lot of great roguelites. So it was a little bit disappointing for me, but it is free to play. And I think like there will be people who really enjoy it. And that's not me, but it could be you out there, wonderful listener. Now,
yeah, whew.
We haven't had a Manager Special in a minute, right?
Yeah, our last Manager Special, you gave one for Orcs Must Die Death Trap.
I did, yes.
And Warden's Will. My last Manager Special was Munch, which you did not play.
Munch. Oh, yeah, that was a split week. Hey, listen, they come and they go. I'll tell you that. But next week we are playing a pretty interesting game, Into the Restless Ruins.
Yes. I've been playing a bit of it.
Oh.
A lot to talk about.
Oh boy. I haven't even touched it yet. I'm gonna hop on this week. I'm excited. But we do have listener questions, folks. And these come from the Juicehead Discord, where you can hang out, talk to us, ask questions. The first one comes from the number one hater in the world, Capolo. Just kidding, Capolo. When evaluating a new indie game, what's your aha moment that tells you it's special? Is it more the art, the mechanics, music, general feeling, etc.?
Yeah, this is a good question, because I feel like it varies, you know, game to game. Some games you know, you don't really care about like the story, for example. Other games might hook you with the story. But I think like a big thing for me is like replayability. Like if I close the game, or maybe not even replayability, but just the want to go back to play it, that's usually like an indication where I'm like, okay, this is bumping up my rankings. And then if I close it again, or if I have a really good play session and I'm like, okay, this is like entering certified fresh juice territory. I think that's like the biggest thing for me where I'm it's not like a specific moment within the game or like, you know, I'm not like, oh, I need to keep playing this because the art is so good. It's really just like, how addicted am I going to be getting to this game? Like, I think one of the reasons we, you know, we love Balatro, we talk about it all the time, is because that's a game where we just, you just keep opening it, you know? You just kept going back to it. And I think that's like the biggest thing for me. And something actually with this week's game where I also felt that same feeling where I didn't really want to keep going on runs, but I wanted to try to explore a little bit more. So I think whether it's a story you're going through that you want to, you know, see how it unravels, or if it's just kind of like a roguelike game that you just kind of want to keep playing over and over, I think that's like a big thing for me. It's just that, you know, I think for a lot of people, but, you know, that feeling of wanting to go back and getting addicted.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah, replayability is huge. I think when it's all coming together is really the aha moment for me. You know, in any game I've given a certified fresh juice, I kind of felt like it's a, like I'm playing a fully realized idea that nailed it, like stuck the landing. Yeah. Is just really doing what it set out to do. And you could tell there's like an instinct to that. You know, that's why these games become popular. It's, you know, what's the last Star Vaders I gave certified fresh juice, right? Yeah. I've revisited that game. It's not like I'm addicted to it, but like I'm like, I want to hop back in and experience this like fully realized idea again. And I played actually the other class over the weekend.
Ooh.
That class is awesome. So
yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think about a game like Haunty as well, where I felt like the more I kept playing it, the more the pieces kind of fell together. And I was like, wow, okay, I'm starting to see like the vision here.
Yeah.
And that was a game that kind of surprised me as well. But yeah, really good question, Capolo. It's something that, I guess we like internalize a lot, but don't really talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, great question, Capolo. Next one comes from K-more, who asks, are movie adaptations happening too fast? We already have Split Fiction and Expedition 33 films in the works.
Let me tell you, they're not happening fast enough, because the Gears of War movie has been in the works for like a decade, all right? And I haven't seen a trailer. I haven't seen a cast list. Nothing. I've said this before. I wish video games would be TV shows more than they are movies, because I just feel like most games, it's really hard to package that up into a good movie. But with a TV show, at least you can kind of like tell a story a little bit more. You know, obviously like The Last of Us is going on right now. I'm not really crazy about season two, but I think they did a good job in season one. And, you know, I'm curious about Split Fiction and Expedition 33. You know, I played more of Split Fiction than 33, but I could see both of them being interesting shows. Movies, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they're happening too fast, but maybe I'm just not that crazy about them happening. This could be because I'm scarred still from the Minecraft movie I saw, which was just awful. I mean, they're also, sometimes I feel like they choose games that like, how could this even be a movie? But you've also got some decent like Sonic is like a good kids movie, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen, I think they have a third one. I don't think I've seen that one, but the first two, you know, they're fine watches. Detective Pikachu, things like that, I think are okay. But yeah, I just more of a fan of like the shows for games, like Fallout's fantastic, than I am for movies. So honestly, I think they are happening too fast then, because I don't want to have any of them. You know? So there you go. But what do you think, Tom? You're a big movie guy, so I'm curious. What do you think about video game movies?
The good ones are few and far between, that's for sure. I'm actually of the opposite opinion. I don't want a show because that's a big commitment.
Well, get out of here.
Yeah.
Like, get it. That's true.
It's a big commitment. And like, even with The Last of Us, right? Which I really enjoyed season one. I haven't even, it's just, there were 10 other shows that came out that I haven't watched yet. And like, usually they're about an hour, which is like, okay, maybe I will watch two episodes or I can get a whole story that like they were able to just pack into one thing in the same kind of movie. Now, these movies have to be better. Like, I want to see good like video game movies, and we haven't had a lot. Like, yeah, Sonic is a good example. I didn't see Detective Pikachu. I saw the Super Mario movie. It was fine. Yeah. It was like, it was a kid's movie. Like that's totally fine. That one was a little weird. I went to the movies alone to see that. If I was in the movies with like my kids and I saw like me alone at Super Mario, I'd be like, we're getting out of this theater, son. This is, that guy is crazy. But I also went to go see The Joker alone. That one felt like even like.
Did you start laughing in the theater? Like,
But I don't know. I love movies. I love going to the movies. Obviously, I wouldn't want to go to the Minecraft movie based on what I've heard. That's insane. But it's also kind of funny. It's like Gen Z or Gen Alpha's Rocky Horror Picture Show, where it's just a party, right? You're just going to a movie for a party. But yeah, I don't know. I know Dredge was supposed to be getting a movie. I think we had talked about that at one point. I think with a lot of video games, I don't think this is going to be a hot take. I never have played a video game with a story that was better than the best movie, right?
Yeah.
Or even the best TV show or whatever. It's like good. Oh, this is like, you know, kind of a good experience to play this and get the story. But I'm never like, oh, this is better than, you know, Interstellar or something like that, you know? So I like the idea of taking, even thinking about, I mean, I don't really know. I know about Expedition 33 and I know about Split Fiction, but, you know, it's kind of interesting. 33 is a pretty, I mean, they're both very on rails storytelling. So it's like, is it going to be a direct adaptation or what? Where Dredge does have a story and it is a little on rails, but you know, you could just take that world and make a good story out of it. So I prefer that. They don't really do that well and they don't really nail it all the time. And then also when you diverge away from the story in the game, the fans of the game are like, how dare they do this? So it's really a losing game to adapt any of these games into film or television.
I definitely agree. And you know, one thing that I thought of, that if, you know, if this isn't a video game, but the Dungeons and Dragons movie that came out like a few years ago,
supposed to be really good.
It's pretty like surprisingly awesome. You know, Chris Pine's in it, Michelle Rodriguez. You know, it's, I don't know. I really had a fun time watching it. We will watch it again, like from time to time, just because you kind of forget like everything that happens because there's a lot of like twists and turns, just like D&D. But it's a good game movie. You know, it's not a video game, but it's a good game movie. Might be one of the better ones I've seen because there's not any great ones. This one I might put in like the great category, at least like, you know, it's like a low steal. It's a good movie. If you haven't checked it out yet, I recommend it.
So we'll see. I mean, I hope we get to a point where we get like good video game movies. But, you know, if you look on the flip side, it's like, you know, if people want exact adaptations, we're not getting exact adaptations when they make a video game out of a movie. right? Yeah. I mean, like, maybe Lord of the Rings Two Towers was close for the Return of the King, but for the GameCube era, but no, who knows? We got one more question. It's from Bags. Shout out, Bags. What indie game that you have reviewed has surprised you the most?
Okay, so I think I'm looking at all my certified fresh juices here in the spreadsheet, and I gotta say, I think the Norb Apologue might be the one, because I had never really played like a clicker game before, and the Norb Apologue was a game I just kept going back to because I wanted to try to unlock everything. And yeah, I don't know. It's a game that like sticks out for me. I feel like it's like an outlier. Maybe that and like Ember Ward, because I was never really super into like tower defense games, but Ember Ward had a really cool concept with like the Tetris pieces that I thought was interesting. So yeah, but I think Norb Apologue is going to take it home as like the game that probably surprised me the most. What about you?
This one I think is probably Preserve. Just kind of hopped into that game. I was like, oh, it's like a pretty game. We'll see how it is. And then I was like, I could sit and play this game for a long time and not really get too tired of it. It's very interesting. It does present a challenge, which is something I like. And it was like really pretty to look at. I thought that game really took me by surprise. I'm trying to think of something that maybe like surprised me the other way, though.
Probably Hellskate for me. I know I brought it up before, but I really thought that was going to be a game I was into because Tony Hawk is awesome, and you know, having a roguelike version of that. But Preserve just came out in 1.0.
I did see that. I did.
Yeah.
I think. What the hell was it called? Moto Knight. I thought I was really going to enjoy that one. I thought that one was going to be kind of a home run for me, and I really didn't enjoy it. And there was another one that was not too long ago that I thought that I was going to like. Maybe
Beyond Citadel.
Beyond Citadel. No way. No way.
I think also another one for me was Astor, Blade of the Monolith, because that was like supposed to be like a Souls-like. And I was like, I'm into that.
Yeah.
Wasn't executed well, as well as I thought it could have been.
Yeah. I mean, we've been pretty lucky on games, you know, in general. But I did just get another question coming in my text messages.
Breaking news.
If I could. All right. If you could live somewhere, first of all, thank you for the question, Bags. If you could live somewhere, this is from R-Carp, obviously. Let me start over again. If you could live somewhere for a week, somewhere for a month, and somewhere for a year, what three places would you choose?
All right. I would choose for a week, for a month, and for a year.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Okay. So for a week, I probably would live in Costa Rica.
Okay.
Because I did enjoy my time there. I just don't know if I could live there full time, but really awesome place. For a month, I probably would live in, we'll go like somewhere, I don't know. We'll just go like Hawaii, maybe. I've never been to Hawaii, but I don't know. I'll live there for a month. For a year, I probably would pick Ireland. I just love Ireland, and I just could probably just, I'd be like, I lived a year in Ireland, played a lot of golf, drank a lot of beer. Those are probably three. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if she was looking for like countries or something like that.
I think it was pretty open.
Could have been like, I want to live a week in a hostel and a month in a condo. No, I don't know. What about you?
I think if I could live somewhere for a week, a week is tough because this is like just going on vacation.
Yeah.
A week I would live in the Sahara.
Like what? Like in a tent?
like, I don't know, like in the Sahara, wherever, like in a safe way. But like, there is something pretty incredible about the Sahara. I could not do that for longer than a week, though. For a month, Maine. Maine. It is just like my favorite place to visit. And to be honest, it could have been a year as well, but I know my year answer. And like, Maine would be the permanent residence. I would love to live there. But I love Maine. I love visiting there. I love the, you know, seafood and wilderness, and just the coast there is just so cool. And just like the general vibe is great. And for a year is Antarctica. And
the Sahara and Antarctica.
Now, why a year? I don't know. There's something. It's like living a hard mode that is really interesting to me. And like, I would like to see what it would do to me, like psychologically. Ooh. Like, am I the same person? Am I a better person? Did I lose it? Did I completely go insane? Like, there's something also like really, like, I want to live on like a scientific base. Like, obviously The Thing is my favorite movie and kind of is the setup for that, but I don't want to be killed by an alien. I just want to live there, and it'd be so cool. There's something, I love the winter, because not because it's cold, but because it's cold, you get to escape inside to like really nice warmth. And like, you know, just like being out in the coldest place in the world and be like, oh, let's get inside. Like, we're done working out here for now. Go in. Boom. Oh, let's warm up, you know, take a nice hot shower or something like that. That sounds like fun to me. I don't know about anybody else, but Antarctica for a year.
Well, for all the listeners out there, if Tommy decides to move to Antarctica, we will still do the podcast on a weekly basis so we can witness your descent into madness. So,
kind of interesting. Time zones are vertical.
Mm-hmm.
Could I be living in the same time zone in Antarctica?
I don't know. What time zone? Can you live in Eastern time zone in Antarctica? I don't know. That's a good question. Theoretically, Antarctica would be located in all time zones. However, areas south of the Antarctic Circle experience extreme day-night cycles near the times of June and December solstices, making it difficult to determine which time zone would be appropriate. So I guess the time zones just change all the time.
It's just so, whatever you want.
Yeah, whatever you want. Because Antarctica spans every line of longitude, theoretically placing it in all time zones. And then it says, however, for practical purposes, time zones are typically aligned with territorial claims. So yeah, I have this chart here of Antarctica, and it's just like it's almost like a pie chart of time zones looking at the country. That's crazy.
It's pretty
cool. So I guess, yeah. You could just like switch time zones.
Did I convince you? Are you living in Antarctica for a year too?
I don't think, well, I mean, I love the winter as well.
Mm-hmm.
I probably would need to visit Antarctica for a week to then determine if I need to live there or if I could live there for a year.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That makes sense. It is a commitment, I will say. I will say. And like, if I, to be honest, back when I was single, or even when I was with somebody I didn't really like that much, I would just look at jobs.
Yeah?
Yeah, in Antarctica. Like, you know, like sabbaticals or not sabbaticals. I don't know what they'd be called.
Like beer salesman.
Yeah, do you got beer salesman down there? No, I was like looking at like just working in the kitchen.
Yeah, okay. All
yeah, because right. I wasn't cool. like a scientist. I'm not a scientist. I wasn't either, but I'm not now either also.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Antarctica, I used to do drugs.
I still do.
Still do, but I used to too.
Oh, man. Yeah. But, hey, listen. Those are the listener questions. Thank you for all tuning in. We do have to go down to the rec room and recommend something that perhaps isn't an indie game. Please, Matthew, recommend what you'd like to recommend.
Yes. So I alluded earlier that I went to Costco this past weekend. And for the first time, I ordered a hot dog and a soda, the $1.50 combo. And then I was like, you know what? I've heard good things about the double chunk chocolate cookie from the Costco guys. Boom. And I got to tell you, it gets five booms for me. It's
boom,
boom,
boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom. this thing is thick. It's crazy. It's a huge cookie. It's nice and warm. It's like the perfect amount of like integrity without it like falling apart because it's warm. It's like amazing. It's like to the point where like I am concerned now that every time I go to Costco, I'm going to really want that cookie because I'm just like, it's just like, I don't even know how much it is, but it can't be that expensive for how much cookie you get. It's so good. Like if you guys go to Costco, you've seen the Costco guys, you haven't tried the double chunk chocolate cookie, I recommend it. I've never tried the chicken bake. I probably won't because I know it's like super cheese filled, but it does look pretty good too. And then also just a side note here, Maria got they have like a strawberry banana smoothie there. Okay. It's not really like a smoothie that I think they blend together. It's kind of like one of those, like, I don't know, it feels like a pre-made sort of smoothie, but it still tasted pretty good. So I didn't even realize they had smoothies there. I've literally just been locked into the hot dog for years. So yeah, expanded my horizons at the Costco cafe, but the double chunk chocolate cookie is a winner.
I've never had the cookie. Guess I'm going to have to try it. I am a hot dog simp as well. I'll mess up some Costco pizza if I have to.
Yeah.
If I'm, you know, it's a different style of pizza. It's like, hey, this is going to give you sustenance and like maybe a little bit of enjoyment and a little bit of safe self-hatred, but it is going to do its job. The chicken bakes are good. A little too ranchy for me, but people like them. They are pretty good. It's just a giant Hot Pocket. So, shout out Costco. It's the best store on earth.
Love.
My recommendation is a new single, a song from a band from New Jersey called Yawn Mower. Probably talked about it on the show before. We actually just saw the lead singer at Bit Brigade last week down in Asbury Park. He's a cool dude. I'm like, yo, Yawn Mower. He's like, hey, what's going on, man? He just like starts talking. So cool band, new song. They have an album coming out this summer. The single Rascal, nice little jam. They are what I would, hopefully they wouldn't take offense to this, but I would effectively call like loser rock. Like, you know, like along the lines of Weezer, Cake in a way, and then like Deer Tick, if you listen to them, you know, it all kind of gets around to that kind of area of music. Just kind of like, hey, we're just dudes who like to play music kind of vibe. And Yawn Mower, they're good. I'm looking forward to this new album. So check out Rascal.
Yeah, they give me, I've listened to a little bit of their stuff. They give me also like Marcy Playground vibes as well. Very much like them. So yeah, awesome band. And awesome that, you know, that's the second time you ran into that guy at the same place for the same show.
For the same show. He just hangs out and watches music at that Wonder Bar. Yeah. So cool dude. And he remembers me every time. He's like, you guys were in the front row at John and Peter's, right? And he's like, yeah, we were rocking out. He's like, you guys are so, thank you.
Like, that's awesome.
So shout out Yawn Mower. Shout out Double Chalk Chocolate Cookie. And geez. Find me on mostly Blue Sky these days at Fresh Buds Pod. Check out my other podcast, Fresh and Buds. We're cooking almost at 200 episodes. We're you know, making some big moves in the 200s, I swear. And you can find us on all platforms at Fresh Juice Pod. Where can people find you, Matthew?
Find me at Matty Gorm on all the socials. I this past weekend, I did a fresh install of OBS because it just was getting, I had like too many plugins and stuff. So I want to make it nice and clean. I'll be streaming some Dune When that comes out, I took off of work, actually, to stream Dune. I took off Thursday and Friday to play Dune.
Nice.
So that should be fun. And then, yeah, look out for a little Blueprints, a little Expedition 33 on the Twitch channel as well, at Mandy Gorm, if you're interested in that. I know some of you guys pop in there, so I always appreciate it.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And with that, it's another juicy episode.